benefit. Let me tell you, sometimes we think that when we sow a seed into the church, we are benefiting maybe a pastor, we are benefiting or maybe somebody in the church. But let me tell you, church, we are doing it for ourselves. For when a farmer sows a seed onto the ground, he waits a particular time, and only that farmer goes into that farm to bring in harvest. So it is for your own benefit. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. It is a good thing. Praise the Lord. What was I telling you before I talked to you about that? Huh? Matthew 21. Oh, I was telling you about the kingdom. Many preachers today preach about the kingdom, about the gospel of Jesus Christ, other than the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. The gospel that Jesus preached was very simple. Now the kingdom of God has come. That is, if you look through the scriptures, that is all that Jesus Christ preached. The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is not only eating and drinking, but the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy, that's the kingdom of God. It is the redemption plan that God ultimately had for a man who was a sinner. We were all born as sinners, and we came into this world. Any child that is born a sinner. Whether they like it, it is not out of a choice. They are born as sinners. And God had a wonderful plan. The simple message of the cross is that Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son that was God that came out of heaven and that was clothed in a human body and came to redeem us. That is the message that we are going to speak today. It is Palm Sunday. Praise the Lord. What happened throughout the triumphal entry? You know, like in a movie, I know most of you watch out movies, or you watch like a play that we watched out the other day where the main characters, Tony and his wife, and we had so many people. And Sister Agatha, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you in the house of God. And we had that play. We had main characters here, right? But there was a thing that was being driven by that play. How many of you can remember that? How many of you can remember about the theme that was really displayed? You can remember the theme. The theme was about utilizing our what? Our talents. Praise the Lord. But all these characters Brother Ben divided this play into sections. And all these sections played out into one theme. Utilizing our talents. And I know some of you can remember Tony here watching football, and you can remember flipping up the the remote and calling his wife even to bring him the remote. I know some of you can remember that, but at the end of the day, we got the message. I need to utilize my talents. Amen. And I still remember the message Brother David brought out here. He told us, you know what? It is according to your ability that the Lord gives you the kind of talents that he's going to give you. To some, he will give five. To some, he will give two. Maybe to you, Jim, he will give you about 10. Maybe to Rod, he will give about 3. But according to your own ability. The Lord is, and I still remember echoing the words of David telling us, we should not be envious that somebody has been given 10 and he is working on those 10 and bringing out a product out of the 10. But if you have been given just one and you're faithful in that one, the same reward that you will receive is the same reward as the one who was given the 10 talents and utilized them and gave productivity out of those talents. Let me tell you, that was it really, really delivered me from so many things. Because sometimes you're looking at the size of a church and you wonder, oh, how is TD Jakes making with all those 20,000 people? How is so-and-so preacher Joel Austin making in so many people down in Houston? But those are the talents that God has given him. Praise the Lord. Amen? But you know what has God put on your hands? Let us be productive on the little or the much that the Lord has given you. Because let me tell you, if the Lord shows up today with his rewards in his hands, the same gifting that he's going to reward TD Jakes, he's going to reward me, he's going to reward you, he's going to reward my sister, he's going to reward you, my brother, if you utilize, if you're producing on the things that the Lord has given you. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So the things that we learn, you know, the story about us being believers can be broken up in several scenes. We know about the birth of Jesus Christ, which we all, everybody, entirely in the world, emphasize. You know, about Christmas. People are crazy about Christmas. And we have other things about the life of Jesus, his ministry here on earth, as he went up, opening up blind eyes, as he spoke healing unto people who are paralytic and people who are sick. That is another scene. But let me tell you, I don't believe personally that there is any other scene that really focuses us onto the theme of what of our life or what it takes to be a Christian, other than this week that we are just about to head out to, the life, the triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. And let us read, if you're on your Bible, in Matthew verse number 21, we'll read the first few verses there. The Bible says, "And when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey.'" Somebody say a donkey. "Tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.'" And immediately he sent them out. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Zechariah, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you." Hallelujah. "Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of the beast of burden." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Can somebody say, "Hosanna to the Son of David"? Say it again. "Hosanna to the Son, to the Son of David." "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" Hallelujah. "Who is this man?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Praise be to God. Father, we thank you for this portion of the scriptures. Lord, this is the most outstanding portion of the scripture that we can ever, my Father, focus on today. I pray that you shall bring clarity and understanding. And Father, give me the clear utterance to bring this word to us, even as you laid it in my spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I was telling you that most of you have watched movies. I remember watching a movie called John Q. How many of you watched the movie John Q? You watch that movie and you might be left, at the end of the movie, you'll be crying. Because it's about a story of a passionate father who had a son and a wife, and they could not get, you know, insurance. The son was sick and they needed medical attention, but it was becoming very, very expensive, even as they were organizing for the medical help for this child. And they tried to approach, you know, government agencies, and just because they were poor, they would not qualify even for the insurance program that was being offered by the government in the day. And so this father is so passionately, after he realizes that his options were closing in on him, and he didn't have many options, he resorts to raising funds, and he called all his friends. And most of his friends, were not very rich people, you know, because he was a humble man himself. And so they were trying to do whatever they could do to raise money in order to go and pay for the bill, the medical bill of his son. And when they counted the money was not even enough on the movie. And you could see this man just sweating, and he could not, he was running out of options. How many of you sometimes feel like running out of options? And this man is so crowded with so many, with his wife, and they are so worried about that they were going to lose their only son, and he was their only child. And he, you know, he says, you know, the son had a heart problem, and so he said, you know what, I'm gonna shoot myself. And then they are going to operate on me, take my heart and replace it on my son. And I said, what manner of love can a father have on his son? It was still in a movie. And I can't help it to see the parallel of this story when I looked at it. And when the Bible says that I believe in the book of Luke or John, it says when Jesus approached Jerusalem, when he saw the city of Jerusalem, he started weeping over Jerusalem. Praise be to God. Just don't worry what is happening behind there. Hello? Is everything okay? Israel, everything is okay? Okay. So as he approached the city of Jerusalem, the Bible tells me that he was weeping over the city of Jerusalem. And the father, the Bible tells us that, you know what, as he came by the city of Jerusalem, he came off the Mount of Olives. Now, when we read about the Mount of Olives, this is a place that it is constantly mentioned in the Bible as a place where Jesus not only rested, but it is a place where he climbed up and interceded. Most of the battles that Jesus Christ fought were fought on Mount Olives. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And if you can read this in the book of, I hope I put it down here. In the book of Luke chapter number, let me see here. Luke 22 verse number 39, the Bible says that he came out and went as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. It was a custom of Christ to go to the mountain, to the Mount of Olives, to pray and to be with God. Jesus knew what was awaiting him. Praise be to God. And three times he mentions to his disciples of what was just about to happen. And now he's coming, and he is coming. He is coming. He's just looking and focusing on the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus, the Master, the King of Kings, my Savior, my Redeemer, looks at that city and he weeps over that city. Now there are so many things that we can ask in our minds. Why would Jesus, the King of Kings, weep over that city, Brother Gideon? Was he contemplating the pain the agonizing pain that he was to undergo through his entire body? And as God, that could be one of the scenarios. But he is looking at the city of Jerusalem. How many of you remember that I told you that you are a city of God? You are a Mount Zion that has been lifted up, and you are the place where God is supposed to dwell. Praise be to God. God, when he looked up at the city, I believe he was not only looking at the physical city, but he was looking at a person who is ungenerated. He was looking at a person who was a sinner, and he was crying over them, and he was saying, oh, how great that I'm just about to step into their lives. And if only they can accept me, if only they can allow the plan of God to work into their lives, then their sins will not only be forgiven, but I will give them an abundance of grace. Hallelujah. And he overlooked the city of Jerusalem and he started weeping. And let me tell you, when he was just about to enter the city, he didn't just want to just walk over it. Let me tell you, when Jesus is planning to enter into your life, he is a gentleman. He doesn't just bulldoze into your life, but he gives you a choice. He gives you an opportunity to hear his word. He sends a preacher your way so that he can tell you about the plan of salvation. And he gives you a right mind to understand about the word of God. I remember when I saw my mother crying on that cave, I didn't have everything together. I thought that my mother maybe was running out of her mind, but I could not understand about this God. Let me tell you, unless God is revealed into your life. And as for me, Sister Charity, I laid a fleece before the Lord, because all I knew was going to a Catholic church and doing everything, you know, the way you do in a mass. But I told God, God, if you're real, please help me. Help me. In my stupidity, I would not even have asked the Lord about it. I wish he came to me in another way. I wish he revealed to me in another way. But you know what? God is merciful, Sister Noel. He is so merciful. In our stupidity, in our foolishness, in our lack of understanding, there is an abundance of grace. Hallelujah. Sister Shai, there is an abundance of grace that is exposed, that is surrounding you every time. Oh, I wish there's somebody who is listening to me right now. There is an abundance of grace that surrounds every sinner. And God gives us an opportunity to hear the word. Glory be to God. And he told his disciples, come on, rush out, you know, to the next block. You see a donkey, with its colt. Bring it up here. I just don't want to get into this Jerusalem, because what is just about to take place, oh, is something that they have never even conceived in their mind. I'm just about to do the greatest trading ever in the history of the earth, whereby I'll become seen on their behalf, and they'll be accepted to my Father. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. And so Jesus sends out his disciples and he tells them, bring up a donkey. And the donkey finally comes. What is a donkey signifying here? And let me tell you, the donkey, for some of you who come from Africa, let me tell you, you know very well about a donkey. A donkey is never eaten like a cow. We use donkey to carry burdens. When you buy a donkey, it goes for 500. How much is a donkey, ma'am? Now, how much is a donkey? $2,000 to buy a donkey. And the reason why you'd buy a donkey is not so that it will be a pet, so that you'll be looking at it and you'll be holding it nicely, you know, like the way they do here in America. In America, they would buy a donkey just to be a pet, you know, give it food. Even you would go to a pet food and buy food for it. In Kenya, we don't buy a donkey as a pet. You buy it to be a burden carrier, maybe a water carrier, maybe a trailer carrier. You know what? And if you have never gone to Elbagon, please, next time you go to Kenya, make a trip to Elbagon, because that is the city, the donkey city. And they wipe those donkies like you've never. Let me tell you, if the American government goes to Elbagon, they will all be arrested by the Animal Protective Services. Because they whoop those donkeys, man, like, and the donkey, man, let me tell you, it's merciless kind of act. You see, a donkey is really culling so much loads, and is still struggling to pull its muscles, and the guy here is whooping it, 20. Huh? A donkey, a burden carrier. And Jesus had options of picking up any like a horse, because he was a king. He would have ordered for a horse. He would have ordered maybe for a cottage, you know, where he would be maybe encrossed somewhere like a king. But he chose a donkey, a burden carrier. Number one, why did he choose a donkey? Because he wanted to display the fact that, you know what, I am carrying to carry the burden of the whole world. Glory be to Jesus. Number two, he wanted to show the world that, you know what, I am a humble man. Jesus is the most humble ever king who ever lived. That even though he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he chose to ride in the most lowly animal at the time. Number three, he wanted to show that he was a king, because riding on an animal, you know, like that, it displayed some loyalty. So not only did he display loyalty, he displayed humility, but he also displayed the fact that he was a burden carrier. Praise be to God. I wish I was living during then, but you know what? I thank God, because I can read and believe it, that it happened. And as he was coming through the city of Jerusalem, there were crowds who had witnessed his ministry. As he was going through the last week of his life, he looked at the city and said, I wish they know what I'm bringing to them. I wish you know what I'm just bringing into your life, that I'm bringing a transformation that can change you inside out. And if you can live for me, you can have life in abundance, and you can live in the fullness. You can live life in its fullness just because I'm coming into that city. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And Jesus and the crowd, the Bible says that they welcomed him in a mighty, in a spectacular way, the way we would do. You know, nowadays, they lay down a red carpet. I believe that was the red carpet of the day. They were telling, Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord as he comes into the city. They celebrated his coming into the city. Glory be to Jesus. When Christ comes into your city, Christ comes into your temple, Brother Alan, he is supposed to bring joy. There is supposed to be a celebration every time. Well, I may not have money in my pocket today. My business might be going under. But what Jesus does in my life, I cannot understand. But because there's this bubbling joy every time, I know that I have the Lord in my life. I may not even be meeting my bills right now. But the fact that Jesus is in my life, he gives me a special super joy that floods my soul. This is what supposed to happen. Some things may not even make sense. You might be trying to connect two things together, Brother Julius, connect up to your life, but you know what? It's not coming in. But the fact that Jesus, the hope of glory, lives in your life. Ah! The fact that the hope of glory comes in your life. There may be instances when you might feel like throwing in the towel. But the still voice of the Spirit of God. The life-giving Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Comes in and overwhelms you and tells you it's going to be okay. I cannot tell you how many times I felt like throwing in the towel. You look on your left, you look on your right, you look on your back, everything seemed like it's going against you. But when I turned in my closet, I remember hearing that still voice of the Spirit of God telling me, wait, son, everything is going to be okay. Do not throw in the towel because everything is going to be okay. Hallelujah. Why is it that somebody maybe wronged you so bad and you came to a point? I remember one man back in Africa, a very close friend of mine. He did something that really, really, let me tell you, really, really made me so hurt. And I never thought that I would ever forgive that man for what he did for me. A good friend of mine, let me tell you, it hurts when it's so close to you. And I was so hard, and I thought, man, how can I ever forget this man? But I remember as I went to before the Lord with a heavy spirit, and I told God, you have to really reveal your grace, because I know it's available, but I need you to reveal that grace to me so that I may be able even to forgive this man. And let me tell you, I cannot even believe. I cannot believe how the Lord sent out such a peace in my life. And there was this comforting words, like the Spirit of God was telling me, release it, it is okay. Release it, it is okay. It is only when Jesus is in your life that you can feel like that. There are some times when somebody wrongs you so bad, you know what? You do not want even them to, you don't want anything to do with them. Not, you know, much less even to see them or to hear their phone call or anything. But just because Jesus lives in your life, there is a stirring up, the abundance of grace within you tells you, oh, you cannot live this life this way. Release it unto the Lord. And this is the story about who we believe. That he is able to help us accomplish things that we cannot accomplish by our own strength. He is able to make us go an extra mile in places that we could not go. He is able to go and accomplish certain things that we otherwise would never accomplish were it not for the Lord. Praise be to God. And so he comes in. I thank God that he came when he says that, you know what, off from Mount Zion, he faced Jerusalem and began weeping. Let me tell you, there is a secret place that God is calling on every one of us to have. What is your secret place? What is your Mount Olive? What is every one of us ought to have a Mount Olive, where you seclude and where your children do not know, or where only you and your God know what you tell him. You might not even mumble the words so that your husband may not even hear what you are saying. You may not even mumble words so that your wife can hear what you're saying, but you're just alone in that closet. It might be a closet, it might be your car, it might be somewhere, but everybody ought to have a Mount Olive experience. Glory be to Jesus. The Lord looked at the He looked at what faced him. He was thinking about it. He was praying about it. Actually, we've seen in the scriptures that he has talked about it three times. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 16, verse number 21, he tells the disciples, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised up. On chapter number 17, verse number 22, the Bible says, as they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. Matthew chapter number 20, verse number 17, the Bible says, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will be condemned to death. Jesus was thinking about these things. He was thinking about what is just about to happen. I know as a human being, he was thinking about the torments that he was to take upon his body. Number two, I know he was thinking about the greatest joy that this will bring to the Father, doing his will, bringing salvation into the whole of humanity. And number three, I believe that Jesus looked at the soul of the people who would reject him, and he had no choice but to weep and to cry. How can they reject such a great salvation? How can we reject such a great salvation that the Lord has given us, church? How has he written into your heart? When he wrote into your heart, because I know he wrote in there, how did you welcome him? Has there been a celebration? Has there been a real joy? Have you been laying a red carpet for the Lord in every section of your life? Or have we just allowed him to just take the only part that everybody knows about? Because it is possible for us to lay a red carpet to honor those things that the people know, but we fail to lay a red carpet or to allow him to ride into those areas that you do not even want anybody to touch or to know. The Lord desires, and it's for these things that the Lord looked and he cried. And he said, I wish they know the fullness of life that I carry within me. I wish they know how effective it's going to be if they can trust me with the whole of their hands. I wish they know how the Father is going to be pleased and how they are going to be enrolled into sonship with my Father alongside with me. I wish they know how they are going to be my brothers. I wish they know how they are going to be my brothers and sisters. If they can only give every area of their lives and surrender totally and welcome him. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So Jesus was not only thinking about his agony on the cross, but he was thinking about other things as well. How he would bring many sons into the kingdom. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53, the Bible says, and the Father looked at the travail of the soul of his Son, and he was pleased. And I was wondering, how would the Father be pleased? Because he's so determined, the Father, to send his only begotten Son so that he can, through his death, bring many sons into the kingdom, including you, including you, including you, including you. And that's why Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides but alone. But if the kernel of wheat falls down and finds a ground that is so fertile and so ready for it, then it will germinate and bring so many seeds. And that includes you, includes you, includes you, includes myself. Praise be to God. So it was necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to see himself as a sacrificial lamb. And then the Lord says, I looked at the travail of the soul of my Son, and it pleased me. It pleased me. The crushing of his soul, the torments through the cross, it pleased me. Hallelujah. The Bible says for three hours following his death, darkness filled the whole earth, and there was such a tremor and rumblings and earthquakes that have never occurred before. Darkness filled the whole face of the earth. I believe that's when the ultimate trading of this of taking of him being the sins that seen us that we were, because he became sin on our behalf. Praise be to God. He became what we were supposed to be, and we were set free. And that is what brings me the joy. And remember, church, as I was telling you the other day, it doesn't matter how much money that you handle in this world. Let me tell you, Tony, today somebody can come and bring $1 million in your life. But what is it going to benefit a man if you can gain the wealth of the whole eternal universe? What is it going to benefit any one of us if we can have the best job here on earth? What is it going to benefit us if we can live in the most, you know, spectacular, you know, affluent neighborhood and lose our eternal life? It is all vanity of vanity. Let me tell you, church, I've come to a point whereby, you know what, whether I make money or not, all I care about is about my Jesus and what he has done in my life. Hallelujah. Because that is the root, that is the root of everything good that is going to happen to me, because the Bible tells me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness and all these other things. All these other things, church, all these other things shall be added unto us. And that's why, you know what, we need to live at peace with one another. That's why we need to be to do whatever we need to do right now while it's still day. Because life is so deceptive, it's so deceptional, we might think that we're going to live here 100 years. And people are planning and living like they're going to live. I was telling you of my, you know, a relative of mine the other day. He was planning to come and see me. You know, he had a visa. He had plans met out. You know, he actually paid a ticket. Wealthy man in Naivasha, back in Kenya. He made every plans. My mom knows about this. Actually, the dad to my brother's wife. And he has money. He, you know, tracts of land, acres and acres of lands. Rich man. And he lined up everything. But one day after Christmas, when he came out of Christmas, he just opened up the door of his car. He fell down there, dead. Died immediately. And I said, God, I don't even understand. Sometimes, you know what? We map out so many things and we arrange and we have plans. And let me tell you, church, it's not bad to have plans. But it's good to have those plans in the Lord. If the Lord wills. Because we don't know how yesterday, let me tell you, yesterday I didn't know that I was not going to put any shoes today. I was, my finger, my one of my, you know, finger toes were hit last week, and I thought, you know, it was recovering, it was doing well. But we went out somewhere with mom, and suddenly I could not even lift up my foot. You know? But I didn't know that I would not come to church with shoes. Tomorrow you don't know what's going to happen in your life. It is important to plan with the Lord. Lord, if you so will, I want to accomplish this. But if you do not allow it to happen, I thank you for the glorious life that you've given me. That should you come at this particular moment, I am going to go to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, when the tsunami hit in Japan, they never even thought that there would be a catastrophe. A catastrophic experience they are going through right now. Do you think about Japan? Huh? The earthquake comes, and it's as if that is not enough. It kills so many people. A tsunami comes and wipes. And by the way, Japan is almost a world power. It's, I think, number 3, if I'm not mistaken. Now, factories, our auto factories are shutting down right now. Toyota factories, they cannot get the parts right now. They could not imagine. They were doing their business as normal, as usual, everything going on. Oh, you're going to, I know there are people who are planning maybe to invest some stocks in the Toyota industry because it does very well, and they were going their normal business. But suddenly, within 5 minutes, the whole economy of the third richest world, nation on earth, is brought almost to its knees. Brought to its knees. That tells you, God has the last say concerning our life. Let us live this life that we are going to live out of this world tomorrow. If you have an opportunity to praise God, praise him like you'll never do it. If you have an opportunity to come and serve God in the house of God, please do it, because you never know whether you're going to have a chance tomorrow. Let us work for the Lord while it's still day. Oh, Jesus. For the night is coming when we cannot work no more. I've seen people who have great plans, and then they're just something happens. They have either a heart attack or they're paralyzed, and they had many, many plans, but they cannot do it. But God has given you the strength. God has given us the power. He has given us a right mind. How many people, even some of you work with these people, they have Alzheimer's. They cannot even tell who their children are. But God has given you a right mind. Back in Kenya, Brother Gideon, we never used to have cars. We never used to have cars. In fact, maybe very few of us maybe had cars. And you used to walk miles and miles to go to church, even for Keshas, even for, you used to go to Karura Forest. And you know, you never used to complain. Do you know that? Never used to complain. You'd go there, join with brothers. You know, we never used to have even roll-ons there, you know. You go there in a room and you feel, where are the windows? Because you really want the windows to be opened up because of the perspiration, you know. But we used to make those miles and went and prayed. And that is why we are. Today, Jim, you remember how many times we went to pray for Keshas? We never used to miss. But now here in America, we have a car. We have a home AC control. First of all, the car is air conditioned. You know, we have everything. And this is the land we really wanted to meet. But you know what? We realize that we are so much engrossed in the day-to-day affairs and we forget about God. Think about it. May God help us. Shiro. May the Lord help us. For what are we going to present before the Lord? What are we going to tell him? Omboy, what are we going to tell the Lord when we go back there? If we brought you an Indian who even never owned even a stool, and that Indian maybe went to the church every day, committed, and he told you, okay, you had a Toyota Camry, you had an air-conditioned Toyota Camry, and you had, why did you not go? And this one was committed. By the way, I'm challenging us. I'm included in there. Life is not, my mom told me, it's not money. It's not just making money here in America. You might have all the money and go home in a casket, by the way. We have seen people do that. I was told of a guy who, in fact, Gideon was telling me about that man sometimes, I think 2 years ago. This man is a workaholic. He used to work. Even if you'd call him a work. He bought his groceries, opened up the door, and collapsed there. He had locked the door and nobody even knew where he was. People started calling him. No, he is not answering the phones. Finally, people decided to go and break into his house. The milk and the groceries that he had bought that day, almost about 5 days ago, he collapsed there. Stress and high blood pressure, I believe, whatever. And he was work. I have another story of a Kisi, I was told, by the way, that he worked, work. One day, he would not even buy, by the way, let me tell you. He would not even buy a meal. He was this miser people. They would not even see a McDonald's and bind McDonald's in the name of Jesus, and he was hungry. Yeah. But he's work. I don't know, because I want to go to Kenya, go build my houses so I cannot even buy, get into a place to eat to eat food. One day he went, you know, in his waiting, you know, what do you call the employees' break room. Yes, the break room. He was found, you know, like he was sleeping, but he was dead. Dead completely. He didn't have a will. I believe when they went into his account, he had $60,000. Do you know what happened? The state of Texas, because he lived in Texas, they took ownership of that estate. Because if you didn't have a will in the state of Texas, the state takes the estate. And so nobody would come and claim the $60,000. Work. Yeah? I wish that guy even gave at least even 10% to the house of God. That money now, I don't know what that money is doing with the state of Texas. Maybe building a road, maybe in the in the farmer's branch somewhere. Jesus. Let me tell you, church, sometimes we can laugh at this, but you know what? We are all caught up in this and we forget. We need to be reminding ourselves what the Lord has done in our lives. I don't believe that the Lord has come into our lives so that just, you know, for the sake of just living this life. The life that we are living right now is for the sake of propagating the kingdom of God here on earth. Shall we stand on our feet, please? In the name of Jesus. The triumphal entry. What Jesus means coming into our hearts. Oh, I am so passionate this morning about this message. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you shall help us. I pray that you shall help us. That we shall not be caught up out, my Lord, doing the things that are necessary. But even in the affairs that we will be caught up doing here on earth, that we shall do those things in you. Trusting you to lead us, trusting you to guide us in every little way. Thank you, Lord, because it is beneficial, Lord. It pleases you to please you in everything. Thank you, Lord. As today being a Palm Sunday, Lord, Father, we wave our hands, we wave our hearts to you. as we welcomed you the first time, we welcomed you in our hearts. And we take this celebratory season, Father, to reflect on what you've done for us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you. I thank you because every one of these that you have given to the Son, none of them shall be taken away. And for some of us who are struggling, Lord, I pray that yet you shall unleash your grace and your unmerited favor, that it may sustain us. Father, I refuse that none of us, Lord, will be caught up in the deception of this earth. That life is about making money and making more and making more and living better or living in mansions. It is good, Father, if you bless us, but we don't want to do that in the expense of serving you. I refuse that none of these children here will do it in the expense of serving you, Lord. But Father, we shall be diligent in the resources that you've given us, Lord. Father, begin it with me as the shepherd of this house. Begin it with me, Lord. Knock things in my life that needs to be knocked out, Lord, that I may dedicate my life fully to you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of life, oh God. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Oh God, I welcome you in every section of my life. Every hidden area that may not be known by anybody, Lord. I give you access, Lord. I give you access. Have access of my entire being, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That when I stand on this pulpit and when other servants of God stand on this pulpit, Lord, will be authentic. Not only before them, but will be authentic even directly from heaven. That you put a seal of approval of what we say, of what we leave, and what we do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Grab the hand of somebody standing next to you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God in this place, church. Jesus is right here. I don't know what you have to present before him. I don't know whether there's an area in your life that is unsurrendered. There is a person that you've never forgiven. There's a person that you've struggled to get along with. The Bible says that we shall strive to live at peace with everyone, in particular to those that are in the household of faith. How can we confess Christ if we do not talk with each other, if we do not call each other, if we do not encourage each other, we do not see eye to eye? Let us ask the Lord to forgive us right now in the name of Jesus. For indeed what he brought into us was the complete and the entire kingdom of God, which is joy, peace, and righteousness. We've been made the righteousness of God. The peace of God is with us, and that's the peace that he wants us to extend to every man. And ultimately we have the joy that is incorruptible, the joy that is unaffected by the natural circumstances of manlessness and brokenness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Squeeze that hand a little bit more right now in the name of Jesus. I want you to open up your mouth and declare a blessing over your brother on the right now. Declare a blessing over their lives. Declare, open up your mouth. Everybody in this auditorium, open up your mouth. Bless your brother. Bless your sister. Bless them. Bless them. Wish them well. Wish them well. Tell the Lord to open up the doors of heaven and unleash a blessing over their lives in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of the Lord. Everybody in this sanctuary, do it. Do it. Do it right now. Open up. Intercede for them. Intercede for them. Intercede. Open up your mouth and tell God something about it. Your cry is going out to heaven right now. In the name of Jesus, whatever binds them, whatever holds them back, whatever ties them up, untie those ties right now in the name of Jesus. Shandere kabosa kerebabusa. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Full access, yes. Yes, Lord, we lay the branches on those corners of our lives. We lay our coats and clothes, welcoming you into every corner of our lives in the name of Jesus, living with peace with each other. Loving one another as you did, Lord, on the cross. How shall the world know that we are believers? When we love one another and when we care for one another, when we care for the work of the ministry, in the name of Jesus. Oh God of heaven. Oh God of heaven. Hallelujah. Father, I declare there to be a healing right now. A healing in our hearts, my God. A healing of our bodies in the name of Jesus. A healing of our spirits in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. A healing. Oh yeah, could be a boss that really treated you bad. It is time to release them. Because you are inviting Jesus in every corner. Lay down your clothes for the master. Let him be the ruler and the master of that corner of your life that you have really guarded. You have not wanted anybody to enter in. You locked the door, but now it's time. Open up that door. Let the master in, and you have authority over those corners of your life. In the name of Jesus. Let go in the name of Jesus. Let go right now. Let go. Forgive that person. It might be in Kenya, could be your parent, could be your brother that you've not talked to for a long time. Need to pick up a phone and call them and tell them, hey, you know what? I opened up this door yesterday for the master to come and dwell in. I am now free. Come on, pick up that phone and call somebody in the name of Jesus. Oh, Shandereka Sekabola, I pray for there to be a super operation in our lives. For when the master is invited fully into this city of God, we are the carriers of his presence. We are the ambassadors of his kingdom. We represent the kingdom of God here on earth. And therefore, every area needs and ought to be surrendered before the Lord. In the name of Jesus, let the triumphal entry be a complete an authentic triumphal entry into your life and into my life. Father, I so declare that this day that we shall have the hunger and the thirst for the things of God, particularly for this house of God. I pray that you shall bless this, your children, Lord. May you extend their boundaries in the name of Jesus. As you have said to us in the book of Deuteronomy, that if we shall do right, then it shall be well with us. Father, help us where we've not been doing right, where we've neglected the house, where we've been robbers in the kingdom. Forgive us, Lord. For when you came up here, you had one mission: to save us and to remove the wrath of God of our lives and to forgive our sins and to pour out an abundance of grace. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate you. I commit the families that are presented in this house tonight. I pray for every one of them, those that are going through financial burden. Lord, I pray that you shall ease that burden in the name of Jesus. I pray for those that are struggling to pay their bills, those that are struggling with their bosses at work, those that are struggling, Lord, with their children. I pray that there will be a restoration in the name of Jesus, that even as we go throughout this week, Lord, this will be a triumphal entry, Lord, into many areas of our lives. Enter those, the lives of our kids. Enter the lives of our workplaces. Enter the lives of our families. Enter the life of our spouses. Enter the lives of our minds. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. We exalt you and we bless you, Lord. Father God, as we face this week, I declare that none of us shall be sick. I declare that we shall completely be 100% healthy. I declare that we shall not meet with any accident on the way. I declare that none of us shall be harmed by anybody. In the name of Jesus, I put a hedge of fire, a hedge of protection, a hedge like the hedge you put around Job when the enemy came to you to accuse him. I put a hedge, that hedge of protection around their lives, around their children in the name of Jesus. None of them shall be defeated. None of them that shall be lost. None of them shall be destabilized by the enemy. I declare so in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We shall walk and you shall grant us favor both with men and with God to the glory and honor of your name. We thank you. Being in that mood of prayer, you might be in this house and never given your life to Jesus. It's very easy, you know. Jesus came and he wants to dwell into your life. I don't know whether you know that temple was created by God. You don't belong to your own, but you belong to God. He created you. And right now, he is standing at the door of your heart knocking. If only you can open up your heart, he can come and dwell in your life. And he can make you a brand new creature. And behold, everything will be gone away. You will be a born again Christian. And he will begin to live a life inside you.
guiding and directing your pathways everywhere you go. If you're that kind of a person and you want to surrender your life to Jesus, just lift up your hand right now. We're going to pray with you in Jesus' name. Is there anybody never given your life to Jesus, but you're saying this is the day? During this Easter time, I just want to welcome him triumphantly into my life and just have him a very strong hold into my life. Just lift up your hand right now. Is there anybody? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. As we dispass this afternoon, Lord, I pray that you shall direct us, you shall guide us, and you shall lead us, you shall protect us. Let the blood of Jesus be all of us, Lord, even as we go home. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We bless your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody say amen.